archived shows section under the Jazz and Justice District Timba edition. It should be the very first one under Jazz and Justice when you go looking down for a show name, and it will pop up. There is a way for you to download the show, and you can listen to it as a podcast on through the website, wpfwfm.org. I am in the studio with my friend Geeta Raj, and Geeta runs a company called Global Sleepover, which is so much fun. It's just like it sounds. And Geeta, I was going to kind of surprise you and tell you, but I just told you a minute ago, that I have had a few phone calls, not just one, but maybe three, about wanting to know how they can connect with you, people, listeners can connect with you, and what you do, and Global Sleepover.
That's so great to hear. It's very exciting because on this side, we're talking amongst ourselves and we forget about the listeners, or we can't see them or feel them. So it's really important to hear that feedback. And
yes,
I think it also represents the growing interest in this topic as well.
Yes.
So we're very happy to be kind of shepherding that. Would you like me to give my details now?
Please
for
do.
Contact?
Please
sure.
Do.
So please, anybody out there, we'd love to hear from you. Ideas, thoughts, even criticisms, feedback. We are very much customer oriented,
mm-hmm.
and we build a lot of what we do based on research and based on feedback from parents, students, teachers, adults, young persons.
I love it.
And so I will give my personal email address.
Okay.
And that is G as in George,
mm-hmm.
R as in Robert,
mm-hmm.
A as in Apple, J as in Jack, at globalsleepover.com. I'll repeat it one more time. That's G as in George, R as in Robert, A as in Apple, J as in Jack, at globalsleepover.com. And if you would like to call us, we actually do have a phone number. And let me just see here. Just a moment here. I always forget the number. 347-762-1081. That's 347-762-1081. You can also engage with us on Twitter, on
mm-hmm.
Facebook, under Global Sleepover.
Right.
And our website is www.globalsleepover.com.
Beautiful. So www.globalsleepover.com. Geeta, tell me a couple of things. I want to know, I know that this summer, in one more shout out to the Gateway Media Lab, this summer you had, in some kind of way, arranged a relationship that you already had established with the State Department, and we had fellows from all over the world,
mm-hmm.
A lot like Mustafa, that were no longer students, had actually had businesses and things going on in Myanmar, in
mm-hmm.
Romania.
It was Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, sorry, Bulgaria.
Cambodia.
Cambodia, and those different fellows that came and spent months
mm-hmm.
with us working in our lab. And then we had this real, they came for an actual global sleepover.
Yes.
To the United States, to Mount Rainier.
To enjoy, yeah.
So tell me, how did you establish the relationship with the State Department, and how did that manage to help get Mustafa's school or Mustafa's after school program involved with Global Sleepover?
Sure, sure. So there are actually two different stories.
Yeah, okay.
They're unrelated. Unrelated.
But
I'm happy to share about both. I think the first one, and we're very lucky that the State Department sponsors these programs that support international exchanges.
Okay.
And that falls along the line of what we do in Global Sleepover.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same idea of multicultural learning. So we were very fortunate to bring four international fellows
mm-hmm.
that were from four different countries to the Gateway Media Arts Lab / Global Sleepover this past fall. And these students are activists, educators, social change activists in their
mm-hmm.
own right in their own country. We had arranged with State Department, they have the Educational Cultural Affairs Office,
mm-hmm.
and they also have a partnership with an large organization called IREX.
Okay.
And through their support, we brought these fellows. And what's notable about this is that how education and youth cross all these various countries,
mm-hmm.
all these various topics and areas. Our fellow from Myanmar, for example,
mm-hmm.
Aung Zhao,
mm-hmm.
he is from he's from a community that's about 50 miles out of the capital,
mm-hmm.
and he has been funding his own community school there for the past 3 years.
Oh my.
Very similar to what Mustafa is doing
mm-hmm.
in Mish Madrasa. And Aung Zhao has instituted a microfinance program for the community, and the loan repayment every month actually funds this community school.
Wow.
So we've seen this trend with the fellows, that education, community education, and
mm-hmm.
right down the street from our lab on the border of Northeast DC and Maryland is Chance Academy.
Right.
And that's another community school that we work with.
Yes. I've spoken with them before because
yes.
I want to mm-hmm. I want to do something. You know, my dream is, one of my big dreams is to develop a program where I can make films out of books,
mm-hmm.
but use the kids to make the
yes.
whole, go through the entire process. Because the way that you learn, I know ridiculous things about all things that I've made little films about. I made a little film about colon cancer. I can tell you, can halfway diagnose you if it, from all the things that I had to learn about colon cancer in order to do a film about it. And it's an amazing way to learn, and it just kind of clicked in my head, hey, this is the way I'm going to help my kids learn, help other kids learn. When I'm in the classroom, everything is visual. Let's turn it into a play. This book is dialogue. You play this character, you play that character, those types of things. And it's still community learning because you're
yes.
looking in the face of someone
Absolutely.
That you go to school with every day, but they're becoming another character. And doing that gets these kids excited
mm-hmm.
about learning, excited about reading.
And it's the access to this learning
mm-hmm.
that we're also working towards, right? We're reaching out and creating these new partnerships. And what we're seeing is that trend, like you're
mm-hmm.
saying, is educators that are coming to the table and saying, hey, we need to educate in new ways. We need to educate in relevant ways. And we also need to access those that are the most inaccessible to
right.
us. And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, it's remarkable to see this trend coming from just a small idea.
Yes.
You see people in Myanmar doing it, people
mm-hmm.
in Northeast Chance Academy, where they
right.
work with students from disadvantaged populations
mm-hmm.
to give them relevant education, a holistic education. People in Egypt
right.
and Mish Madrasa doing it. So,
and so the fellows came here. How did your relationship with the State Department start?
Oh, I think it's been various ways. I used to work with USAID, which
oh,
is
okay.
a sister agency to
yeah,
the State Department.
Yeah, you know, I did a film for USAID years
okay.
ago.
Oh, great. It's a small world.
Yeah, 15-year
sometimes,
plan film.
Yeah.
When Enrique Iglesias was the president.
Okay, yes, yeah.
Okay. It's so funny.
Small world. It's
yeah.
always like this. And so these connections always, they carry through
I
the
know,
future.
It's a weird little small world.
So I think for me personally, working in international development,
mm-hmm.
working in humanitarian assistance, by nature, our work was global. You
yes.
worked not just in international relations, but in international relationships.
Exactly.
So those connections with State Department, I think for me, those partnerships and friendships came from my time at USAID.
Mm-hmm.
But we have been, as we've been testing our solutions, testing our workshops, testing what we do and our educational outcomes, we've maintained those close connections and
mm-hmm.
friendships with the State Department, their Education and Cultural Affairs Office,
okay.
so supportive of these types of programs.
That's really wonderful,
mm-hmm.
and it's so good to see, because sometimes you wonder, what goes on in that State Department? What do you do over there besides, you know, sending Rex Tillerson to meet with what's his name every chance they get. And so it's really grand to know that there's relationships like this, actually this kind of work that's kind of very much grassroots, very much not Americanizing something, but actually learning about another culture
mm-hmm.
and bringing people here to learn about a culture like we did with those fellows
mm-hmm.
at the lab. It was really very, very special because the person that I shared my studio space with, she actually had one of the fellows boarding with her. So we got to interact outside of the lab, outside mm-hmm. of work, and got to learn about her culture in Bulgaria. We do this, and this is what we do. And we were all like, okay, so this is the way that you dance Cuban salsa as opposed to, you know, New Yorican salsa. And it was just, we always had these wonderful exchanges, and it's something that I'm very accustomed to because that's the way I grew up. But I know that it's not the norm for most people, and so it's great to know that there's this community and there's this way to connect.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, it's coming back to education again. Mm-hmm. It is cross-cutting to education. I've been very pleased to see something, the Global Teachers Dialogue, that's happened.
Wow.
It's a dialogue that happens in the summertime. Mm-hmm. They've done it through State Department now twice.
Yes.
I was at the one this past summer, and there you have teachers from Ithaca, New York, teachers from California, talking in this environment about how they internationalize their classroom.
Wow.
So how they take simple topics such as, well, not simple, but topics such as science or mm-hmm. math, and put an international spin on it and really, really focus and try to bring in that international component in all that they do. So it's it's that exchange. It's coming through these types of arrangements that we experience mm-hmm. at the lab. It's coming through students, through teachers, into the school systems and the communities. It's very exciting to see.
I think it's really wonderful to engage students with an international curriculum and discourse that has them understanding that in this space, even the screens that they go to on their, you know, computers or television sets or even in their phones, it's not just the screen, that there's an actual living, breathing other human being on the other end of it. And programs like Global Sleepover and Chance Academy and Mustafa School mm-hmm. and Anna's program in Bulgaria and someone else's in Myanmar, and all of this type of thing is just really, really, really encouraging and definitely gives us hope in a time where you know, hope is crushed for anyone that looks like you or me. And so I feel like this is part of the resistance in education. I think that the reason Castro lasted as long as he did, honestly, as a literally from being a revolutionary to becoming a dictator of a country, how he did that was by educating people and giving them enough to learn and gain that kind of dignity and empowerment mm-hmm. that they got from learning something that was one of the very first things that he did.
Yes.
He empowered mm-hmm. people by giving them